Josh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Melissa has weakened slightly after making landfall as a Category 5 storm on Jamaica's west coast today. ABC meteorologist Melissa Griffin says it's still a powerful Category 4.
Overnight, we're going to see the eye making landfall on southeastern Cuba, and then it makes its way towards the southeastern Bahamas by tomorrow afternoon. Still potentially as a hurricane, we're looking at a Category 2 to 3 hurricane as it makes its way across the southeastern Bahamas.
Jamaica's military and fire brigade standing by for search and rescue operations, and AmeriCare's director, Marielle Fontaine, says the aid group is ready to help with long-term needs.
AmeriCare's, in addition to our medical supplies, has a contingent of mental health specialists that we have on standby to go to support the needs of the survivors and also of the first responders as they deal with the trauma of this hurricane.
Some areas of Jamaica could see up to 3 feet of rainfall, and along with flooding and surge. This is ABC News.
From Main Street to the Capitol in Madison, WISS is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. In Outagamie County, the proposed 2026 budget includes $44 million for capital improvements at the Appleton International Airport. County Executive Tom Nelson told the Post Crescent that the airport supports 7,000 jobs and contributes $2 million in economic activity to the county. The projects include completion of a baggage system, pavement in additional parking areas, and design and construction of a corporate hangar. The county's budget includes a 17% increase in expenditures over last year, mostly related to capital improvement projects. The owner of a home valued at $300,000 would pay $795 on Outagamie County's portion of the property taxes next year. That's an increase of just $11. A public hearing on the budget will be held tonight at 7 in the Outagamie County Boardroom on Walnut Street in Appleton. Worries are high as the federal shutdown continues and we approach November 1st, when federal SNAP benefits will cease. But some local indigenous communities are stepping up to help their members. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has more.
Members of the Ho-Chunk Nation have an alternate option for food assistance, as funding for FoodShare, Wisconsin's food assistance program, is set to soon run out of funding. Ho-Chunk Nation members must first cancel their FoodShare benefits, then provide that documentation to the Ho-Chunk Nation Department of Health before applying for the Ho-Chunk Nation Food Distribution Program. Officials note you'll need to reapply for FoodShare if you want to return to that program once funding resumes, and it's possible there could be delays in reinstating FoodShare benefits.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, you know, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, you know, to playing from behind. You know, it's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, you know, if we want to be, you know, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we got to, you know, really embrace, you know, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And, there's no excuses in this league. You know, it doesn't matter who's out there. You know, we all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
Real news, great conversation, right in your inbox. Subscribe to WISS's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, lows in the low 40s. A return to a mostly sunny day for tomorrow, highs in the mid-50s. And partly sunny for Thursday, highs in the low 50s. Cooling through Friday into the weekend. Right now it's 53.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cindy Greening is with Chippewa Valley Indivisible. Maybe I missed the meeting notices. Have you been to these Antifa meetings, and did you get your George Soros check and I just missed it? I get the feeling this is more like regular Americans than paid agitators.
Nobody's getting paid. They're there out of their commitment and love for this country. We want to stand for it, bring back the values where everyone is taken care of and included.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny.
Of course I did.
I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
But well, you can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome director of Now More Yes, Max Hay. Then Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas and I talk new movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday afternoon, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been very excited to talk with my next guest. His name is Robert Held. He is an attorney from the Chicagoland area. And while he wasn't a barn-burning, foot-stomping, protesting type, he recently felt motivated to show up near Chicago at the Broadview U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Facility. This is where immigrants have been taken, someone argued disappeared off the streets of Chicago, and brought pending deportation proceedings. Again, this is without fulfilling the requisites of the Fourth Amendment. We'll get into that a little bit with my guest. But while he was at one of these protests recently, he himself ended up detained and held for 8 hours by ICE. With that, I want to welcome you, Rob, to the show. Thank you so much for making time for us. I know you have been in high demand since all of this went down. It is a pleasure to have you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. Thanks, Maggie.
Let's just, before we get into what exactly went down, you know, the accounts that I've read of your story indicate you weren't, again, some, you know, barn burning protest type guy, but that you, over the course of these months and watching the Trump administration, felt compelled to show up in Broadview to protest what was going on. Tell us about how you got to that point and why you decided that you wanted to exercise your First Amendment right and show up and complain about the government's actions.
The truth is, till about a month ago, I'd like to say that I don't get out much, but I was seeing video after video of federal agents shooting with less lethal weapons, protesters who were simply demonstrating peacefully. And I say that accurately. There were rubber bullets, there were pepper balls, there was tear gas canisters thrown, and I'm watching this video and I couldn't believe it. And I felt motivated, compelled to go out there and protest, number one, against, you know, what ICE is doing, but also to observe for myself, you know, this is America. I mean, are they really shooting, you know, these less lethal weapons at peaceful, innocent protesters who are not obstructing or impeding? And the answer was, yes, they absolutely are, because they took pepper ball shots at me.
It's extraordinary. And I think one of the things as lawyers we are called to do in moments like this is indeed to bear witness, right, to show up. We understand the law. We've all took oaths as officers of the court. We all take an oath to defend the Constitution and to fulfill that in our duties as a lawyer. And so I think folks bearing witness, not just attorneys, but especially attorneys as officers of the court, to bear witness in these moments, to lend credence and to help elevate the voices of others who are experiencing this is so critical. And I applaud you for getting involved in this way. Tell me, how many protests have you been at? Have they all been at the Broadview facility? And then we'll get into the events that happened at the very tail end of September.
Sure. Well, I have an app that alerts me where ICE is, and I've actually acted on that, you know, those alerts about ICE in downtown Chicago and in my home in the suburbs of Chicago as well, but never successfully found ICE based on those alerts that I get from the two apps that I have. But I have gone to Broadview quite a lot in the last 5-6 weeks now. And so that's where I've encountered ICE and the authorities that are policing the protest areas now in Broadview, Illinois.
Are there local police there, or is it, describe the scene. Can you tell which agency these various law enforcement officers are with, whether they're local Broadview PD, whether it's ICE versus CBP, FBI? Tell us, paint the picture for our listeners.
Well, it's changed. So when I first was going there about the second, third week in September, you could literally walk up to the ICE facility. It's a processing facility that's, as I said, in Broadview, Illinois, and you could literally walk up to its boarded windows and the locked door and the cameras and so forth. And agents, you know, would come outside. But you're right, alluding to who they are. Some of them have not uniforms, but, you know, the FBI logo on their outerwear. Others say Customs or Border Patrol. But most, we don't know who they are or what agency they work for. They could be ATF, FBI, ICE, Border Patrol. We simply don't know because they're not identifiable. Now, that's changed a little bit because of a federal court case, primarily one particular case in Chicago,
yes,
where they're supposed to wear conspicuous identification. But the shorter version is that there's two ways to ingress and egress, to get in and out of this ICE facility. And we could protest at either one. In the last few weeks, one of those has been completely closed off, and there's one protest area, and the designated protest area is, I would say, a couple of hundred feet from the ICE facility. So unless you have a megaphone, they're probably, you know, the federal agents are probably not going to hear you. Although I will give you one little anecdote. I talked to two protesters who were in that designated protest zone. This is going back a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and they got fired on with pepper balls and hit with pepper balls. Even though it is a couple of hundred feet back, the pepper balls have a pretty decent range, apparently.
The idea that the acceptable protest zone is so far removed from the facility that you cannot be heard unless you have a blowhorn or a bullhorn basically negates, in effect, the purposes of the First Amendment, I would say. Sir, as a lawyer, do you agree? I mean, what is the point if nobody can hear you?
Well, that's exactly right. I hope that changes. You know, I keep telling people that talk to me about, you know, you asked about what forces are there. Right now, we've got the Broadview police that are enforcing the protest zone area limitations. We've had the Cook County Sheriff, Cook County, Illinois, and the Illinois State Police. Federal agents can be seen on buildings. Well, we assume they're federal agents. We don't know. There are people standing. Let me just describe what I see. I see people on buildings, typically with masks, sometimes with equipment that is not identifiable. And I've shouted up to them and received no response. So there's people on buildings, but the ones that appear to be enforcing are primarily lately Broadview police, backed up by either county sheriffs or the state police.
Have you witnessed any county sheriffs or local police firing pepper balls, tear gas, or rubber bullets at protesters?
Absolutely not. I think they have exercised great restraint. It's really a kudos to our state police and the Broadview police as well, because they've exercised great restraint. And just in the last few days, they've even more toned down any potential confrontation at the end of the designated protest time, which ends per the mayor's executive order in Broadview, ends at 6 p.m. And the Broadview police has even been more accommodating in terms of protesters that want to stay past that 6 p.m. deadline.
That's, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but that's the point, if you will. And by that, I simply mean, Robert, we want law enforcement officials, whether they're local, county, state, or federal, to show sufficient respect for citizens and residents' right to exercise our free speech rights, and to ensure, frankly, that federal agents can go about their duties. Like, these are both things that we should see in a democracy that is governed by the rule of law, not a presupposition that anybody who's protesting needs to effectively put down and subdued and shut up. And it seems such a volume of the footage from these interactions seems to indicate that there are quite a lot of federal law enforcement officers that are much more interested in the flex, as I believe the kids would say, than in striking this correct balance between ensuring that federal officials can go about their duties, as well as showing respect and deference to those who peaceably wish to exercise their constitutionally protected rights. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. It's bizarre that there's two things going on at the same time. One is, I think that most everybody, if not everybody, wants violent criminal Tren de Aragua or other gang members who are non-citizens who've committed violent crime to be arrested, prosecuted, or deported.
Yes.
We all want that. But that's not what ICE has been doing. That's not what we see on this in Broadview and on the videos that I see from the streets of Chicago. And that is that, you know, you alluded to it. I was arrested. I hadn't committed a crime. There are people that are innocently either recording the Broadview or other protesters and being sometimes subdued and arrested by federal agents. And it's wrong. And we want the federal agents, again, to do their job and do what the administration said, which is to get the worst of the worst. But to repeat for emphasis, that is not what's happening in Chicago.
That is not what's happening in Chicago. Folks, I am joined for this half hour by attorney Robert Held. He is from the Chicagoland, an attorney, as I noted, and he felt compelled to go to Broadview outside of the ICE facility there and protest. When we take a breath and come back, we just have about 2 minutes. I want to set the stage, Robert, and then we'll get into the details of what happened. About how many protesters were there? Mr. Held was detained by federal law enforcement and held for 8 hours. How many people were there? Was it a super tense environment? Set the stage for us a little bit, and then when we come back, we'll go through what exactly transpired that led to your detention. But set the stage for our listeners.
There could have been at most 100 protesters that Saturday afternoon. I had been sprayed with an unknown chemical directly into my face, so I was debilitated for about an hour. And then thereafter, I was at a fence that used to separate the ICE facility from the protesters, since been removed. Greg Bovino, the commander of Border Patrol, opened that gate with 40 federal agents next to him, and I have video of it, and said, "Clear the area or you're going to be arrested." Words to that effect. I was videoing him backing up and, you know, at some point decided to clear the street and was chased down and arrested. But the volatility occurred only because Greg Bovino and the federal agents decided to open that gate and literally march into the protesters rather than use the other exit that I had talked about earlier. So they created a volatile scenario, I believe, for their own film and for their own website.
the propaganda value of what ICE and Greg Bovino, a Customs and Border Patrol leader, is what they're doing. We're going to talk about those events and what transpired after Attorney Held's detention that Saturday afternoon in late September. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. We continue this important conversation on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Focus on Freedom provides support and guidance for children and adults with disabilities. Here's founder Marla Kopecky-Penny talking about foundations in caregiving. How does a parent or other caregiver manage their own emotions when their child is dysregulated?
Caregiving for someone with diverse abilities comes with real emotional weight. Our course, Foundations in Caregiving, helps you understand what's happening for them and for you. This class gives you tools to help you stay regulated in the moment, build structure at home, and reconnect with your role, not as a caregiver, but as a parent. It's self-paced, on-demand, practical, and built for real life.
If you or someone you know has disabilities and are challenged finding appropriate resources and guidance, Focus on Freedom provides a wide variety of support services, such as foundations and caregiving, personalized family support planning, demystifying schools and services, one-to-one training for individuals with diverse abilities, and more. Visit FocusOnFreedom.org, empowering independence and transforming lives.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Hey, at Total Wine & More, you'll love what you find this Halloween.
Me thirsty.
Oh, hey, Frankenstein. Did you enjoy that Cabernet?
Oh, good. Want margarita?
Well, all the villagers are raving about this tequila.
Ooh.
And we have it at the lowest price in town.
Economical.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly. B21.
Civic Media. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for the balance of this half hour by attorney Robert Held, a Chicagoland attorney who was detained as he was protesting at the Broadview ICE facility for 8 hours. Attorney Held, we left off before the break. You were describing the fact that Customs and Border Patrol leader, Commander Greg Bovino, made a decision this, I believe it was the last Saturday in September, to have about 40 agents you described sort of rush protesters. They could have left the ICE facility by another exit. They did not have to rush protesters. Was there anything, for example, vehicles that were trying to leave or enter the facility that were being prevented from doing so that precipitated this effective rushing of protesters led by CBP head Bovino?
Greg Bovino was leading these 40 federal agents, and there was a car behind and adjacent to some of the agents. So there was a car that was exiting that street where the facility is. But as you pointed out, they could have used the other exit. They didn't have to create what I think was political theater, quite frankly, because they have film crews that accompanied Greg Bovino and some of the ICE agents. And, you know, that they had created this political theater also just an hour prior, where Greg Bravino would put his hand on the shoulder of an immigrant being detained and literally just like walk him up to the facility, even though they normally come in by car, and it was being filmed. And he would do it like repeatedly. Okay, let's get another one. Let's do another one. So they're creating this stuff for their website, their social media sites, whether it's for recruitment or otherwise indoctrination, propaganda, whatever you want to call it. But they did not have to come out that gate that day when I was detained.
And effectively, they came out and immediately started physically engaging with some of the protesters. You described that you had been hit by a pepper, not directly, but had breathed in some sort of chemical earlier. You were somewhat incapacitated. You were filming and backing up as that directive to back up was being given, and you were effectively tackled. Tell us exactly what happened.
Sure. Well, to be clear, I was sprayed directly in the face with a chemical agent because I was looking through the fence that separates the protesters from the facility. And I did have a gas mask on, but I was up against the fence and I my peripheral vision was poor. And anyway, an agent sprayed something so hard into my face that it either moved my gas mask or went under it. And I was debilitated for one full hour. But then when they opened the gate, so they were walking, they opened the gate, you know, clear the streets, you're going to be impeding us and be arrested. I'm backing up and filming. They're walking forward. I've later seen videos of some other things that I hadn't seen at the time. But from my viewpoint, I'm just backing up. They're shouting directions. I'm backing up faster than they're walking. I'm not impeding or obstructing. But I decided, okay, I need to clear the street because I think far as I could tell, I might be the only one left on the street, and they're still shouting and they're calling me, sir and buddy, get off the road. So I got off the road and I ran off the road, but was chased. I was chased, and that was caught by an independent journalist. There's a video of that on the internet. But to finish the story, I eventually got to a fence that I could not clear. I'm 68 with a bad hip, and I gave myself up at that point. They ordered me to get on the ground and put my hands behind my back, and I was arrested.
So to be clear, you were exiting the area that they instructed you to exit, and then they chased you down.
But not quickly enough as they wanted. They had given perhaps 10 commands, clear the street, you need to clear the street. But I was not impeding them because they were coming at walking pace, and I was backing up much faster. And my video confirms that I wasn't impeding anyone, but they did chase me down.
And you were then handcuffed, zip-tied, what, and taken into that specific ICE facility?
I was handcuffed. I was put in a car. The car was driven a little bit, and then they opened the door, and then Gregory Bovino himself appeared at the door, looked me right in the face, and said, "Now what do you want to say to me?" I did not respond. They took me into the facility. I was held for 8 hours.
Were you ever informed of any charge?
Not at all. I was never charged with a crime. I never committed a crime, and I was never informed about what I did wrong or why I'd been detained.
Are you suing the federal government?
I'm not. There's what happened to me. Let's make this clear. This is not even a footnote compared to what's happening to the immigrants and to our communities. They're being devastated and abused by the Trump administration and these agencies. I don't need to get any recompense for what happened to me for those 8 hours. But we do need to change what's going on with respect to the immigrant communities and Chicago more generally, because we're living in fear. There are people that have been terrorized, that won't socialize, that won't go out to shop, and won't go out to their work. It's really horrible when you talk to people on the streets that are being personally affected by this brutality.
To close out, you attended one of the hearings in the lawsuit brought by the state of Illinois challenging the National Guard deployments, challenging some of these what I would call posse comitatus violations by ICE officials. What did federal district court judge Innes rule today? It's quite extraordinary what she is requiring CPB head Bovino to do on a daily basis, specifically around this issue of the use of force, which you ended up at the short end of the stick receiving. Tell us what happened today.
She had previously entered a temporary restraining order that prohibits ICE from issuing, using violence without warnings. And she ordered them to put conspicuous identification on themselves. And so the bottom line is, she said, "You're violating the order and you need to come in every day at 6 o'clock to report to me on what you've been doing."
ICE and CPB will be required in a federal court in Illinois, the Northern District, to provide daily reports on their use of force, and Mr. Bovino will have to personally appear and answer the judge's questions at 6 p.m. Folks, this only happens when some pretty troubling things are afoot. My big thanks to Rob Held for being with us. Folks, when we come back, I continue our discussion of the utter lawlessness and the mayhem being wreaked not just on American citizens, but to citizens of other countries as well. We continue this important discussion on the other side.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WISS in the app and the news comes to you. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Some Wisconsinites' health care premiums could skyrocket by $30,000 a year if Congress doesn't continue the insurance tax subsidies, one of the biggest sticking points of the government shutdown. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
People who buy health insurance through the healthcare.gov marketplace can qualify for what are essentially discounts on their insurance to make it more affordable. Those discounts are set to expire at the end of the year, which would make healthcare coverage more expensive for up to 42 million Americans. Here in Wisconsin, about 313,000 people have plans they bought on the marketplace, and 88% of those qualify for some sort of tax credit. On average, those tax credits save Wisconsinites $664 a month. But leaders say costs will surge for some people. Governor Tony Evers.
A middle-class family of four in Wausau see their premium more than double, going from $886 a month to over $2,300 a month. A 60-year-old couple in Rice Lake, making about $85,000 a year, could see their premium rocket 800%. That's an annual increase of over $30,000 in costs.
And that's just for the premiums to have insurance before even thinking about things like filling prescriptions or going to the ER. Democrats in Congress say they will not agree to end the shutdown unless the tax credits will continue. Republicans have said they would consider extending the tax credits after reopening the government. Data shows when healthcare systems, the government, and charities have to absorb the costs of the uninsured, prices go up for everyone. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is new news on the latest Bob Odenkirk action film. The multi-talented Emmy winner and Better Call Saul star had back-to-back action roles with Nobody and Nobody 2. Headed to the big screen next spring from Magnolia Pictures is Odenkirk's latest action film, Normal, which will drop April 17th of 2026 on over 2,000 screens, which is Magnolia Pictures' largest release ever, according to Deadline.com. I'm 61, and I hope to remain uninterested in AI until I croak. Those are the paraphrased words of director Guillermo del Toro. The director recently appeared on NPR and discussed his new film, Frankenstein. The Oscar winner compared the fascination around AI with the arrogance of Dr. Frankenstein, adding that his issues are not with the actual technology, but by the general stupidity of those who control it. I kind of agree with him, but I still have no idea what was up with The Shape of Water. Frankenstein drops on Netflix November 7th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WISS is your home for real news and great conversation in Oshkosh.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky tonight, lows in the low 40s. A return to a mostly sunny day for tomorrow, highs in the mid 50s. And partly sunny for Thursday, highs in the low 50s. Cooling through Friday into the weekend. Right now it's 53.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin football.
To hear that the coaches aren't fostering those relationships at the high schools, that has been the heartbeat of the team before Fickell's time. I got recruited other places, but I chose to be a Wisconsin Badger because of what that meant to me. If it means something to you, not just the name on the back, but the name you have on the front of your jersey, that's going to have staying power in today's college athletic landscape.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters.
Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson join me next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, the rest of this show is for me and you together. I want to get into a discussion about really the lawlessness of the Trump administration, these intentional efforts to create mayhem, which our last guest, attorney Robert Held out of Chicago, was describing that he saw as a protester very intentional decisions being made specifically by Customs and Border Patrol, by the head of that agency, a guy by the name of Greg Bovino, to basically trump up, pardon the pun, opportunities to end up in physical confrontations with protesters instead of trying to find ways to de-escalate, avoid those confrontations, let people do their protesting. But of course, federal agents, they have a right to go about and get done their business. And I also just want to point out the fact that I really appreciate the fact that Attorney Held made the point that no one that I know is saying that people that are here illegally that commit crimes that are credibly accused and have probable cause determinations made or convicted should not be deported. Of course they should. But the how matters, and the fact of the matter is that Customs and Border Patrol aren't doing targeted raids. They're just rounding people up. And in doing so, the manner of their interaction with protesters is clearly violating people's constitutional rights on a near daily basis. There is another version of lawlessness that the Trump administration is engaging in, and combined with what we see happening in these interactions with protesters, the illegal deployments of the National Guard, which continue to be litigated in our federal courts, is Donald Trump's legally unsound use of the military to kill people, citizens of other countries, by using missiles to blow up these boats that may be carrying alleged drug traffickers. They have never produced evidence. There has been no due process. These people are summarily executed at the hands of the United States government. And to me, the through line here is if you think about what has transpired since the beginning of the Trump administration, the second one, what you see is the line of reasonable or not reasonable constantly getting kicked further out, and a normalization of this kind of violence by the government. Violence against folks that are quote unquote illegal. Well, that's okay because they're criminals. Well, that's okay even if they're not criminals because they're illegal. Oh, that's okay against American citizens because they just got caught up in these raids of these picking up of these illegals because, you know, they had the wrong kind of friends. Oh, it's okay against American citizens who are protesting because they're impeding law enforcement. Oh, it's okay to summarily execute citizens of other countries in international waters in which we have no jurisdiction because they're allegedly without any evidence or due process. Drug traffickers. You see the line getting pushed? Normalizing the extreme use of extraordinary violence and now killing of people without any process at all. Extreme violence, now including the killing of citizens of other countries by government agents and officials without the presentation of evidence, without any due process. And as we played yesterday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was asked recently by a reporter, there are reports of a plan to deploy strike forces in 50 states. Is this true? And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said basically, yeah, it is. We won't don't discuss specific plans, but yes, of course, we have plans for every situation. That's an admission. What is a military-styled strike force across all 50 states supposed to do exactly? If you can spray rubber bullets and pepper bombs and tear gas at protesters because you decide you need them to move and they're not moving fast enough, if Stephen Miller tells federal agents that you have absolute immunity for anything that you do, any violation of rights, which, by the way, is not true, where is the line? I don't see it anymore. And make no mistake, this is not a concern that I hold or that just Democrats hold. There are Republicans that are slowly and meaningfully, and independents that are slowly and meaningfully starting to sound the alarm. And one such individual is Senator Rand Paul. We're going to first listen to a number of cuts that we've put together of Rand Paul explaining why what the Trump administration is doing by using the military to fire missiles at these boats in the Caribbean is illegal and may even amount to a war crime. Let's take a listen to Rand Paul explaining this over and over and over again. This includes sound from Piers Morgan Uncensored in about a week ago. We've got sound just from this week from Rand Paul that we'll get to, but let's listen to this is a montage of Rand Paul in numerous interviews explaining why what Donald Trump is doing is basically illegal killing of citizens of other countries without evidence or due process. Take a listen to this.
Drug usage is way down, and drug usage coming from the sea, they call it ocean drugs, a little term that they use, the ocean drugs, is very close to non-existent right now.
Number one, there is no fentanyl made in Venezuela. Not just a little bit, there's none being made in Venezuela. These are outboard boats that in order for them to get to Miami would have to stop and refuel 20 times. They're in all likely going to Trinidad and Tobago, which is an island right off of the coast of Venezuela. So there's a lot of reasons to be worried about this. But number one is the broader principle of when can you kill people indiscriminately? When you're at war. That's why when we declare war, it's supposed to be done by Congress. It's supposed to be thoughtful. It's supposed to be debated. And we're not supposed to do it willy-nilly. And then when you have war, you just kill people in the war zone. And even then, there are rules of engagement. But interdicting drugs has always been a criminal activity and a criminal anti-crime sort of activity where we don't just summarily execute people. We actually present evidence and convict them.
One of the interesting things is one of the recent explosions, a bunch of the people on the boats died, but two people survived. Did we detain them and check them for drugs or drug residue? Did we gather the evidence from the wreckage and then prosecute them? No, we just said, oh, well, we're going to send you back to your country. So I really think that you cannot have a policy where you just allege that someone is guilty of something and then kill them. The reason being that we interdict ships all the time off the coast of Miami, off the coast of California, and the Coast Guard statistics say that about 25% of the boats that we stop to search don't have any drugs. So if one out of four of the boats don't have drugs on them, you know, what kind of person would justify blowing up people when one out of four boats may well not have drugs on them?
And this is Rand Paul earlier this week on Fox News, again, addressing this problem. This is Cut 12.
You know, it's not so much about a briefing, but we haven't had a briefing. To be clear, we've got no information. I've been invited to no briefing. But a briefing's not enough to overcome the Constitution. The Constitution says that when you go to war, Congress has to vote on it. And during a war, then, there's a lower rules for engagement. People do sometimes get killed without due process. But the drug war or the war or the crime war has typically been something we do through law enforcement. And so far, they have alleged that these people are drug dealers. No one said their name. No one said what evidence. No one said whether they're armed. And we've had no evidence presented. So at this point, I would call them extrajudicial killings. And this is akin to what China does, to Iran does with drug dealers. They summarily execute people without presenting evidence to the public. So it's wrong.
It's wrong. And if Congress, if Rand Paul is the only one standing up saying, this is a problem, we collectively as Americans, our democracy is in great peril. In great peril. We also have sound from C-SPAN on October 26th, again, just 2 days ago, of former Representative Bob Lankford talking about this exact point. Take a listen to this.
The administration needs to give insight into Congress. That's part of it. If this was happening with this level of insight under the Biden administration, I'd be apoplectic.
Yeah, let's think about the precedent
I would say, hey, listen, I serve on the Intelligence Committee. He serves as a senior Democrat on defense. This is typical consultation. It's not permission, but it is, hey, I want to let you know this is happening, and here are the details of what's happening, and here's why and what, and here's what we know. Here's what we know about each one of these incidents that has occurred in the people that are there. That's important. We're all elected officials. We're in a co-equal branch of government, and we've got to be able to have that kind of coordination.
Bob Lankford is currently a U.S. senator. And so if you put together what you just heard, you've heard a Republican senator, Rand Paul, point out that they have seen no evidence that outside of a declared war, which we do not have, that these are, quote, extrajudicial killings. Extrajudicial, of course, is a fancy word for illegal, that you cannot summarily execute people. And what you heard now Republican Senator Bob Lankford saying was not only do you not have the legal showing that these are enemy combatants, not only do you not have a congressional declaration of war, you don't even have the provision of the most basic evidence or information about how these determinations are being made, the standard of proof that's being required, or any of the intelligence that is allegedly the catalyst for these killings. These are Republicans. Bob Lankford voted for the big brutal bill. This isn't some, you know, centrist Republican. They're not even telling Congress what is going on. And it is Congress's job to execute oversight. Telling Congress doesn't mean sharing operational details or sensitive intelligence. They have SCIFs, Secured Compartmentalized Information Facilities, SCIFs, to provide this information. We now have two Republican senators saying this is deeply problematic. Let me just say this. I sure wish that Rand Paul and Bob Lankford cared as much about American citizens and due process in this country as they do for alleged drug runners on speedboats in the Caribbean. When we come back, I discuss what comes next and where a surprising source of hope may be found in these dark times. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of civic media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via texts, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of civic media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day, and thus it is your last opportunity to get your thoughts in this Tuesday afternoon. 855-752-4842. And folks, it is shutdown day 28. And as I have been doing, let's just all remind ourselves of who is to blame for this shutdown. Cal, let's roll the old montage. Cut 28, please.
Who's going to bear the brunt of the responsibility if indeed there is a shutdown of our government?
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top, and they have to get solved from the top. And the president's the leader. And he's got to get everybody in a room, and he's got to lead. You know, the interesting thing
is... It's interesting when you listen to that, right? Because Donald Trump isn't here. So how do you get in a room? How do you... You know, the president's got to lead. Get everybody in a room. He's not here. The House isn't in session. How do you get everybody in a room? Doesn't make any sense. And as the media do from time to time, we found yet an additional clip of Donald Trump making it very clear who is always responsible when there is a government shutdown. Let's take a listen to this. This is back from April 7th, 2011 on the NBC Today show with Meredith Vieira. Take a listen to this.
If there is a shutdown, I think it would be a tremendously negative mark on the President of the United States. He's the one that has to get people together.
you know, in that room together, but not because he's in South Korea, and not because the House isn't in session for some 80 plus days out of the last 90. Nothing like a good old paid vacation. By the way, do you know that members of Congress have effectively concierge on-demand health care? On demand. No waiting, no lines, blood tests whenever they need them, x-rays, what have you, MRIs. Yeah. But regular people, yeah. You don't need health insurance, let alone on-demand platinum health care provided by the U.S. military. It's a little frustrating, I would say. But I wanted to leave you all with a bit of hope. And I stumbled across this sound. And admittedly, I'm going to play it for you in part because, boy, this Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Blaise Kupich, he sure summarizes his thoughts in a way that might sound eerily familiar to you. This is part of my point of hope these days, is there are faith leaders across all denominations speaking out and reminding us what especially the New Testament says about the stranger, about the immigrant. But let's take a listen. This is, again, the Archbishop of the Chicago Diocese, Cardinal Blaise Kupich. Listen to what he has to say about this moment that we're all in.
My dear brothers and sisters, today I speak to you as your shepherd, but also as a fellow pilgrim who shares the pain of many of our immigrant communities. Families are being torn apart, children are left in fear, and communities are shaken by immigration raids and detentions. These actions wound the soul of our city. Let me be clear. The church stands with migrants. We stand with a mother who crosses borders to feed her children. We stand with a father who labors in silence to build a better future. We stand with the young person who dreams of safety and a better future. Our parishes and schools will not turn away those who seek comfort, and we will not be silent when dignity is denied.
We will not be silenced when dignity is denied. What an important message. And did you hear that repeated call from the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Kupich, to stand with migrants, to stand with the mother trying to feed her children, with the father trying to give something better to his kids, with the young person seeking a better future for themselves? And perhaps no single faith leader is as famous, at least in North America, than perhaps post-Pope Leo. And Pope Leo has gotten more and more and more specific and pointed in his critique of those that claim the mantle of Christianity and yet disclaim their obligations to serve one another and to serve, yes, the migrant. In late September, Pope Leo publicly questioned whether Trump's crackdown on immigrants can ever square with the Catholic Church's pro-life teachings, pointedly asking, and I've played some of the sound before, whether anyone can truly claim to be pro-life while supporting, quote, the inhuman treatment of immigrants. It was on September 30th. A week later, earlier this month, he met with U.S. border bishops, and he read dozens of letters from terrified immigrants. He was brought to tears, and he assured that group that the, quote, the church cannot stay silent before injustice. You stand with me, and I stand with you. He then urged the entire U.S. Conference of Bishops to speak out against how migrants are being treated by this administration. If you want to claim to be pro-life, you need some consistency. And you've got to stand with every life, not just the ones that resemble you. Folks, that's going to do it for me. Remember, as I say every day, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Melissa has been churning across Jamaica for most of the day. The massive storm making landfall on the island's west coast as a Category 5 hurricane. Now one of the most powerful storms on record in the Atlantic Basin. It has weakened to a Category 4. ABC News meteorologist Melissa Griffin says the storm, though, is slowly moving out.
It's expected to remain a major hurricane as it reaches Cuba by later tonight through tomorrow morning. So still, catastrophic flooding, numerous landslides. These are expected for Jamaica today by Cuba tonight as the heavy rain moves on shore. 9 to 13 foot storm surge still remains possible across the south shore of Jamaica, and we could see several feet of storm surge for the south shore of Cuba as well.
The deputy chair of Jamaica's disaster risk management says there are reports that three families are trapped in Black River on the west coast and rescue crews are still trying to reach the area. Victoria Samuels lives in Kingston and tells ABC News her family home has suffered damage and reports that rivers are flooding. This is ABC News.